Pete.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the Minute Waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce the four exciting personalities who are going to pit their wits, their erudition, and their verbal dexterity against each other in playing Just a Minute. This week, we welcome back Derek Nemo, Christopher Timothy, Barry Cryer, and Clement Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits the man who invented the game. He has a stopwatch in one hand, a whistle in the other, which he will blow when 60 seconds are up. And once more, I'm going to ask each of our contestants to speak in turn, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Let us begin the show this week with Derek Nemo. Derek, the subject is Manhattan. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Manhattan is quite one of my most favorite cocktails. In fact, I had one the other day coming back from Madrid on British Airways, and it couldn't be more delicious. If you read that excellent book,
Derek Nemo's Drinking Companion, or one by the same author called Shaken and Stirred, you will find in it a recipe for a Manhattan. This is a particularly good one. You have sweet vermouth, rye, and a dash of Angus George. It was invented at the Manhattan Club in the 1870s for a party given by Lady Randolph Churchill for a Governor Tilling, would you believe? And it was a tremendous success. Now, if you read another volume...
And Clement Freud is challenged.
Second read.
Yes, we're reading your book too often, I'm afraid. Yes. You said about it, you read your book before, and you read it again, Clement Freud. You have a correct challenge, which means you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of Manhattan, and there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
Manhattan probably did less for Liverpool than any local politician that I can think of. For some astonishing reason, he was elected onto the local authority, where he aggrandized himself.
Barry Cryer has challenged.
Deviation from correct spelling. Wouldn't it be Manhattan?
Yes, and you think he should be Mad Hatton, do you?
Pardon? My brain hurts.
So it's a deviation from the spelling, you know.
But Derek Hatton is hat on, isn't he?
Yes, that's right.
But how do we know how it's spelled? We're only going by a sound. I think Freud is absolutely right.
I was about to say that, Derek Nemo, before you took the words out of my mouth. Thank you very much.
Do you have any words in your mouth?
And anyway, he thought you'd finished with them.
Clement, you have another point, and you have 7 seconds to continue on Manhattan, starting now.
Well, the streets go in one direction, and the avenues in the other.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Repetition of the.
That's one of the meanest challenges.
Well, it was very mean on my read, wasn't it?
Well, it's a correct challenge, so I have to be fair, because I've always tried and be fair. Yes, what do you want to say, Clement?
This is now a ruling that one cannot say the more than once.
No, the rulings are that might say it more than once, but if you are mean enough to challenge like Derek Nimmo, then I will have to give you the challenge. I hope that you will not hold up the game by keep challenging on every the, but Derek Nimmo has challenged. I have to be fair within the rules of the game and say that he has a correct challenge and he has a point for his mean challenge, and he has 3 seconds left on Manhattan starting now.
My doctor told me to take more fruit, so I asked for 2 cherries in my Manhattan.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gets an extra point, and the man who got in just before that was Derek Nemo. So at the end of that round, he has 2 points alongside Clement Freud. Barry Cryer, will you take the next round? The subject, garages. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
The garage at the bottom of my garden contains everything save a car. It is inhabited by sarcophagi.
Derek Nemo got in bed.
Yes, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Very sad.
Halfway through is, yes. Yes, he's playing a tough game this week. I know he's played it. He's played the game for 22 years, and you've only played it for about 2 or 3, I think, Barry, which is showing up at the moment, but you're no doubt getting
You mean this. I'm younger?
52 seconds for you, Derek, on garages, starting now.
The price of a London garage is today absolutely astronomical, overpriced, and disgraceful. How can they expect ordinary people to afford a rent sometimes of £100 a week for a mere shack in South Kensington or in Knightsbridge in deepest Shepherd's Bush? Ladies and gentlemen...
Clement Floyd is challenged.
He said in twice.
And I could see Clement Floyd waiting for one of those.
I knew.
And he got back. That is the way to play the game, and that inhibits them from challengings on these and ins. Right, 33 seconds for you, Clement, on garages, starting now.
The extraordinary thing about garages these days is they seem to sell absolutely everything except petrol. Glasses, cups, flowers, sandwiches, Coca-Cola, and its rival, which I mustn't mention either.
Christopher Timothy is challenged.
Pause after either, I thought.
There was a pause, and he looked at you, and you pressed your buzzer, and you got in. Well done. Christopher, we're going
to
hear from
you. I don't want to talk about garages, if that's all right with you. No, all right, then. All right, go on.
Right, 17 seconds to hear from you on garages, Christopher Timothy, starting now.
I remember a time when I had my first car, a tiny, not very well-equipped Austin 7, and when I went to fill it up, it cost, albeit £2 something or other. Today I got petrol in order to come to London from where I live on the south coast, and would you believe that the bill came to nearly £20? And that indeed, as Mr. Clement...
I just make a comment. I think it's extraordinary philanthropic of him to grace this program tonight, because he's more than he gets for his fee.
What fee?
Right, well, at the end of that round, Derek Nimmo and Clement Floyd are still in the lead, and Christopher Timothy is 1 point behind them, and then comes Barry Cryer. And Clement Floyd, will you take the next round? The subject, clout. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Clout is a fairly trendy word. And governments that are unable to do anything are said to be without clout, from which administration I would like to excuse the Portuguese, who have quite immense power in that when you buy an electrical appliance in Portugal, you have to have a battery and a plug within the parcel that you purchase. And I think if our people had that sort of clout, I would spend much more time in electrical and hardware stores, shops.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
The repetition of electrical.
He said electric plug before, and now he talked about electrical.
Did he?
I mean, it's absolutely rubbish, the whole thing, but I mean... In fact, I have to say, quite...
You don't have to say
I've never
anything.
Heard... I've never heard such an intelligent man talk such rubbish in my life. So, Clement, it was an incorrect challenge, and you have 24 seconds to continue with clout, starting now.
Emporia of hardware sell many things with which you can clout people, such as hammers, files, blocks of wood, buckets, almost anything that you can purchase in that sort of store is available for smashing someone on the head with. And I very seldom end sentences with prepositions, but will make an exception.
But he found every verbal, ingenious way to keep going till the whistle went and gained that extra point, and he's now in the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo, as his Clement Floyd I refer to. Christopher Timothy, will you take the next round? The subject, bungling. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
This describes usually the failure in achieving or polishing off a task that most people would consider very simple. A bungle is when you do not complete the task, although you've done everything in your power to do so. Let me give you...
Barry Cryer challenge.
Repetition of task.
Yes, he did say task.
Twice, I accept that.
And so, Barry, we're going to hear from you on the subject of bungling, and there are 49 seconds left, starting now.
It could be said that I majored in bungling earlier in life. Ineptitude was my middle name. Incompetence, cack-handed. Call it what you will. I was unable to fulfill any task without completely botching it in the process, although maintaining throughout a smoothness that did in fact deceive many people into thinking that I was working efficiently in the execution of this particular job. But no, if they had looked beneath the surface, they would have glimpsed my utter inability to achieve anything with any degree of certitude, skill, but...
Oh. And if you listeners could have seen the strain on Barry Clark's face as he was searching for some more words in that vast vocabulary of his.
But I thought he was constipated.
He probably is, but that's got nothing to do with the way he speaks. Clement Freud, you got in first, and you have...
I've got the bell.
You may have done it, but Clement's light came on.
Oh, I see.
So, Larry, just on. What was your challenge, Clement?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, of course. Right, so 13 seconds are left, bungling, starting now.
If you have a chairman who really bungles things, then Derek Nimmo can press a button and my light will come on, as a result of which I receive an extra point and leap into the lead as a result...
I have to defend myself occasionally, and I must explain to the listeners that I have nothing to do with this box of tricks in front of me, which is an entirely mechanical device invented by the BBC, in which there are four lights in front of me, and only when a light comes on do I press a little button there, and the light goes off. And Clement Freud's light came on. I didn't bring it on.
You haven't got the clout, have you?
Derek Nimmo, will you take the next round? The subject, friends, will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
I remember that wonderful remark of that outstanding leader of the Liberal Party, Mr. Jeremy Thorpe, when I was during the massacre that Macmillan caused.
Christopher Timothy, Chance.
A falter, I thought.
A falter which would be interpreted as hesitation, so I give it to you. 48 seconds are left, Christopher, on Friends, starting now.
And Neighbours, a very, very popular song while I was...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of Berry.
Yes, you said very, very, yes. Oh, yes. I'm afraid you may only have played the show, yes, or first time with us. Was last year, Christopher, but there's been no quarter given on your return visit, so I'm sorry about that.
I was spoilt to death last time.
You're looking very impassive. 45 seconds for you, Clement, on Friends, starting now.
Well, in 1963, after the Profumo scandal, when Harold Macmillan, the Prime Minister of this great country, sacked half his cabinet, and Jeremy Thorpe said it was the wrong 50% of whom he got rid, he stood up in the House of Commons at question time and said, Mr. Speaker, does the Right Honourable Gentleman...
So Derek Nimmo wants to finish the story after all. So, Derek, you wish to take over the subject of Friends and obviously finish that story with 23 seconds left, starting now.
He said, no greater love hath any man than to lay down his friends for his life, which I thought was terribly witty and very good. I must say, to have a chum in life is hugely important, isn't it? I have a very...
Christopher Timothy challenged twice.
Repeat of life, twice.
Yes, life.
Life.
Christopher, there are 11 seconds for you on Friends, starting now.
Max Bygraves was the singer who scored a vast hit...
Barry Cryer.
Singer.
What? So your challenge is?
Deviation.
I don't know. Some people might call him a slinger, for all we know. Barry, I agree with your challenge. 7 seconds for you on Friends, starting now.
Friends are the very life and stuff of my very existence, two berries.
And the two berries and Christopher...
There's a berry disease going on.
Christopher, you have 3 seconds on Friends, starting now.
There is once and only a friend...
So, Christopher Timothy, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point at that moment. And at the end of the round, he is in second place, only 2 points behind Clement Freud, who's still our leader. Then comes Derek Nimmo, and then Barry Cryer, and Barry begins the next round.
I've moved up.
What, from fourth place to fourth place?
Yes, fourth. But higher fourth, I feel it.
Well, maybe you'll move forward even further with the subject of American football, starting now.
American football has impinged on our lives in the last year or so. My youngest son, Bob, apprised me of the details of the gridiron game. I watched one night and saw Bo Jackson, who plays both for Los Angeles Raiders and the Chiefs of that very city, in a baseball capacity. What a polymath, I cried. Not only a footballer, but a baseballist. And as you watch...
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
There was it, yes. It was so nice, wasn't it? A polymath.
Sore throat. You've mentioned my sore throat, haven't you, Nicholas?
No, I'm going to mention in a minute. It's getting worse.
Yes. Well, that won't, there won't be pauses. I'll just be taking breath,
no,
you understand.
No, well, that's it. Derek, I agree with the challenge. You have 33 seconds on American football, starting now.
I can't stand again. All sorts of funny names they have, like Ice Cube and so on, again, rushing on. I didn't really trust them. There's something very peculiar about them. They're all...
Larry Crouch, challenge.
Ice Cube, I think. Do you mean fridge? The fridge.
I don't know. I might be called Ice Cube.
I think Ice Cube is a phrase in American football, actually.
No, I think Derek was alluding to a player who is known as the fridge. Very large.
I know there's a player called the fridge.
Talking yes, but not called the Ice Cube. There is a player called the Ice Cube.
Right, thank you. Would you come every week, that gentleman, in the audience? Someone in the front row of our audience here at the Paris Studios told us that there is somebody called Ice Cube. Thank goodness. I can now make a decision, which is that Barry's challenge was incorrect. And Derek Nimmo keeps the subject with 27 seconds on American football, starting now.
There is something decidedly queer about them. The way they come onto the field of play, hugging each other, and fall onto a big heap on the ground with their arms entwined, and when they get up again, have you noticed there's always one man still lying there, smiling? I think the whole game is deeply suspect, and I don't really like it, and I don't think it ought to be allowed on our screens. It's due to people like, I think, Michael Green, who's over at Channel 4. He encourages it, and that Jeremy Isaacs, so they've dispatched the opera.
So Derek Nimmo got points in that round, including that one for speaking as the whistle went. He's moved ahead of Christopher Timothy and one behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud, who begins the next round. Clement, the subject, scandal. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Scandal, it seems to me, is an extraordinarily overused word. All sorts of things which are really of small account are now considered to be diabolical liberties and scandals. Even American footballers called the refrigerator, who have slightly smaller, comparable and less efficient ball players who are called ice cubes, are being challenged.
Derek,
I'm quite glad I
judge.
Didn't want to go on doing this.
Sort of stopped, didn't he, really?
Yes.
He was certainly struggling. I've never seen him struggle so much. Right, 33 seconds for you, Derek, on scandal, starting now.
There is a tremendous amount of scandal in our newspapers today. Most of it is fiction. I deplore and loathe the way that newspaper proprietors, particularly Australians, seem to be able to invent absolute lies about people and put them on the front page of
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He's not Australian.
He didn't specify anybody.
There is no British newspaper proprietor currently who is an Australian because Mr. Murdoch became an American.
He is Australian by birth. You could become a naturalized Abyssinian, but I was an Englishman.
We'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Derek, and you keep the subject of scandal with 19 seconds left, starting now.
But for the sake of the profit from one edition, they are quite prepared to put people out of work. Anybody in the media, will absolutely destroy their lives. They do not care. The newspapers in this country are absolutely foul, and in this...
You can give him a round of applause for what he said. But Christopher Timothy could not let it go any longer. So he buzzed. And what is your challenge, Christopher?
There was a pause.
I thought you were going to challenge for the four absolutelys, which everybody let go because they agree with what he was saying.
And the four absolutelys.
All right, we give it to you on the pause. 1 second, Christopher, starting now.
I absolutely agree.
So Derek Nimmo is now in the lead, 1 point ahead of Clement Freud and Christopher Timothy, who are equal, and then comes Barry Cryer, and Christopher Timothy begins the next round. Christopher, the subject is theatrical disasters.
A fine phrase applying more often than not to shows in the theatre, in London, in the West End even, that are not successful. This may be due to many, many things.
You can tell he's playing to the audience. He gets the R's and O's. But Derek Nimmo pressed his buzzer. Derek, your challenge.
is Repetition of Many Men.
Many, many, yes, right. 46 seconds, Derek. Theatrical disasters starting now.
I think I would like to include one of the major theatrical disasters of this century, our chairman, Nicholas Parsons. We have seen on the stage of this country from time immemorial, it seems to me. One of the plays that I was once in was a musical comedy with that lovely star of the English theatre called Dame Anna Neagle. And she used to wear a microphone down her bumbles with a deal of wiring, and the transmitter was in her knickers, and they used to shove the air out. Well, it was very uncomfortable. And one day, would you believe, the elastic or whatever held together snapped, and out came the recording device from her bumbles, and then slowly there emerged from between her legs the recording equipment, which hung there in the most puzzling way, and the audience could not have enjoyed it more. They applauded the show.
I might mention that the show that Derek Nimmer was referring to was Charlie Girl, and after that reference to me as being a theatrical disaster, I must point out that 20 years after Derek Nimmo created the part, I was cast to take it over. So that says
that's
something about
say,
age, doesn't it?
Disaster.
Right, so Derek, in spite of all the things you said, you kept going to the whistle went, and you get an extra point for that, and you've increased your lead at the end of the round, and you also begin the next round. The subject, leaping ahead, which you've just done, but would you talk on it starting now?
Leaping ahead seems to me a most boring subject. I suppose one could refer to this game. You scored extra points, you might leap ahead, but perhaps the Seoul Olympics would be a point where you might be able to leap ahead and actually win a gold medal. And that would be frightfully thrilling, wouldn't it? I like Seoul. It's a lovely city, and it is ideal, as I say, for leaping ahead because of the garlic, you see. They eat a tremendous amount of it there, and that seems to refuel you and give you an extra impetus as you leap ahead. But
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of leap.
That's right, because on the card it's leaping ahead. And you use the word
yes,
leap.
Yes, that's right. I'm not quite.
That's right, but I have to explain.
I'm a good loser.
31 seconds are left, Clement, for leaping ahead starting now.
I was telephoned by a theatrical impresario the other day who said that if I wanted to get into the leaping ahead game, he had in 20 years' time a role for me playing the old Derek Nimmo, revived by Nicholas Parsons' part in Charlie Girl. The only condition was that I would have to become a naturalized Abyssinian, and I actually felt that this was too great a price to pay, even for so fine a role in the theater.
So Clement Roy kept going to the whistle when gained the extra point, and he's now 1 point behind our leader Derek Nimmo and only 1 point ahead of Christopher Timothy, and Barry Cryer begins the next round. Barry, the subject, I don't know why Ian Mess decided to give you this subject.
He decided.
Is it? Well, the subject is sex.
Oh.
I don't know whether you've anything to say on that subject.
My voice is finally gone.
Let us hear from you on sex, starting now.
My libido, which is not something in a bathroom if you're labouring under that misapprehension, is sorely tried and troubled these days because it now takes me all night to do what I used to do all night, and I reflect upon these things.
Clement Freud,
challenge. It was worth it.
Repetition.
Yes. What's that?
Repetition.
Yes, I know. You challenge on the payoff to the story, which Daddy Cryer wrote years ago for some comic. Right. So, yes, a repetition, 48 seconds for you on sex, Clement, starting now.
This is not a subject that I want to speak on at great length, but as I only have 40 seconds, there seems no good reason why I shouldn't tell you about a Bedouin whose camel died in the desert.
A Barry Cryer challenge.
Repetition, he told us it before the show.
Well, what I do there is give Barry Cryer a bonus point for a lovely challenge, but as Clement Freud actually hasn't deviated from the rules of just a minute, he keeps the subject with 34 seconds to go on sex, starting now.
The sexuality of this Arab was something which has much...
Derek Nimmo got in.
Yes. Hesitation, my friend.
Hesitation. Now we have sex from you, Derek, on 28 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I haven't really very much interest in sex these days. I've reached the age that when a girl says no, I feel profoundly grateful. And therefore, I don't really feel that perhaps I'm the most qualified person to talk about sex. Although I remember in my day, in
distant youth, there was a certain amount of pleasure. I would never have made...
Clement Roy Charles.
Two remembers.
You were remembering too much. Mm.
Such a long time ago.
Well, I must say it's very honest of you, Derek. 7 seconds are left for you, Clement, to tell us something about sex, starting now.
And the genie said to this... sex craved Abyssinia.
So, Clement Freud got more points in that round, including that one for speaking as the whistle went. And he's now taken the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, spoofs. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Spoofs are something which are very popular on April Fool's Day, which next year is going to be on a Tuesday, unless it could fall on a later day of the week.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Why? It was sort of bizarre, wasn't it, really? He sort of fiddled around a bit, then stopped.
Yes.
Hesitation again.
Derek, it was a hesitation. 47 seconds for you on spoofs, starting now.
Oh, such happy childhood memories of spoofing. I used to tie an Abbey Abyssinian purse on a piece of string and leave it around the corner, wait around the other side, and as somebody came to pick it up, I used to give it a pull, and used to come towards me, and I'd say, hello, what-ho, I've spoofed you. And they used to thump me very solidly on top of the head. Quite right, I mean, it's very annoying to have young children going round with spoofs. I don't know whether any members of the audience here have spoofed. I hope they haven't. Not at the moment, anyway. It'd be very unpleasant.
Christopher Timothy is challenged.
Repeat of spoofed. Repeat of spoofed.
Yes. Too much spoofing. You did spoof a bit too much there, Derek. But you did it very well, and the audience seemed to enjoy it. They got a bit wet from all the spray you were sending over. So, Christopher, you have 17 seconds to tell us something about spoofs starting now.
A similar thing in America is known as trick or treat. When a child will knock on the door and say trick or treat, it...
And come and call it Oh, it's an infuriating game, isn't it? Clement Freud got in there, and everybody knows why, so it's 11 seconds for you, Clement, on spoofs, starting now.
The BBC, some years ago...
Derek Nimmo,
Repetition of B.
Yeah. All right, well, it's neck and neck. There's 1 point separating Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. We're in the last round, and the subject is still spoofs. And, Derek, you have 9 seconds to go, starting now.
The British Broadcasting Corporation, some years ago, had a wonderful spoof about spaghetti growing in Italy, shown on the Panorama programme.
Well, as I said a few moments ago, we were in the last round, and now we have no more time to continue in this game of just a minute. The final situation was that Barry Cryer, coming with his hoarse voice, but his erudition and wit, came in fourth place, just behind Christopher Timothy, who has not played the game as often as our two players who played it many years, and very aptly they finished equal in the lead. So we adjudge them to be the winners, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to this edition of Just a Minute. We've enjoyed playing the game. And it only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four delightful panellists, Christopher Timothy, Clement Freud, Barry Cryer and Derek Nimmo, and of course the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much for tuning in, staying with us until the end, and we hope that you will want to tune in again when we take the air once more and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.